good. All right, we're good. I'm really happy to be here. I realize that between joint services, vacation, and a snowstorm, I don't think I've been in this building for 6 weeks. So it feels like forever, and some of you may be even new and don't know who I am, so just thought, hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm the missions pastor. My wife, Erica, helps run all the family ministries. So we're really happy to be here and excited to be here, and just to be with you again is great. I just wanted to take a brief moment to just encourage everyone to, as Pastor Tracy was sharing before the Pass the Peace time for those prayer cards, fill those out and pray. We believe as a Christian Mission Alliance, we have core values as a denomination, and one of our core values is that prayer is the primary work of God's people, in believing that as we partner with God in praying, that God shows up and does things beyond our imagination. And so it's not just like we're throwing a message in a bottle up in the air hoping something happens. We're really talking to a loving God who can do anything. And so I just want to encourage you that. We, as Pastor Tracy shared, that we were praying for about 20 of the cards. And then we were kind of letting you know, hey, just to encourage you, we prayed with you. And some of the people that I was praying with and for already were giving me some responses just in this weekend of how they've begun to see God moving in just a week as we've been praying. And so I just want to encourage you, let's do this. Let's do this together, and let's just be amazed at what God does as we just look to Him in prayer. So there's nothing to do with what I was about to say, but I just want to encourage you, please be doing that, because I really, really am just super excited to see what God could do as we all join together in prayer. When I was in like seventh grade, I noticed something interesting. They would write stuff on the board for classes, and I didn't seem to be able to read it. I would kind of be looking, and they would write stuff, and I'd be like, what is that? And I would look around, and everybody else seemed to be taking notes just fine. And I'm like, really? And so, you know, you kind of just look to your friend and be like, can you read that? And they're like, yeah, it's fine. This is what it says. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'd write it down. And so I began to realize that I might be having a vision problem. And then I really noticed it when one day they used like a pink like marker on the whiteboard, and I was like, man, I can't see that at all. And I had to go within about 5 feet of the board to like write it down. And I was like, finally I had to write my parents and be like, I think I need glasses. Like, something is wrong. But since we were missionaries and we were overseas, we didn't have a chance to get glasses right away. So that whole year I could tell, like, it just kind of started getting worse. Like, and so I kind of kept not being able to see as much. I kept having to ask the teacher, like, can I just pull my chair up, like, really, really close to the board? And she's like, okay, okay. And then I remember we went and I got the eye test, and they said, yeah, you definitely need glasses. And they said, okay, well, you pick out the frames, you know. And they said, okay, you have to come back later. I remember walking up to it was like a little mini strip mall, and, you know, you know, there's signs above the stores that say what the stores were, and I kind of saw that they were there, but I didn't really see anything on them. And I walked in, and I got the glasses, and it was like, wow, like, this is really, like, crisp, you know. And if you've ever gotten glasses for the first time, you recognize that the first time you put glasses on, you almost feel like this is painful, like, it's so crisp, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And I remember walking out of the eye doctor place and looking up, and I was like, you mean there's words on those signs? I was like, I didn't know that there was words on the signs for the different stores. Like, I had no idea because I couldn't read them. And I just started looking around, like, at everything, being like, wow. I was like, look at all this stuff I was missing. Like, I didn't know it was there. I was like, I didn't realize, like, just how blind I was. Like, how much I wasn't seeing that was right in front of my face. And today I would like us to look at what is it that we might be missing that God is doing right in front of our faces. And so to look at that, we're going to be looking at John 9. And if you'd like to turn there or bring it up on your phone, you'd be welcome to. I'm going to start reading from about verse 13. But as you're turning there, I just want to give brief background here. What's going on in John 9 is this. Is there's a man who was born blind. So he's been blind his entire life. And he's begging. And the disciples ask Jesus a question. They're basically saying, why is this dude blind? Is it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus is like, that's not it at all. I'm just going to reveal God's glory through his life. And so Jesus kind of spits in the mud or spits in the ground, makes the mud, rubs it on the guy's eyes, tells him to go wash at a pool, and the guy's healed. And so it's this kind of amazing miracle that's going on, and people are astounded. They're like, wait a minute, how did this, is this the same dude that's always been blind and always been begging, and now he can see? Like, how is this? And so the word gets around that this miracle has happened. And so people are kind of like, what's going on? And so they bring this blind dude before the religious leaders, the Pharisees, so they can question him. And so I'm going to start reading from verse 13. This is where the story picks up. It says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. All right, so what's going on here is this. The Pharisees, the religious rulers, the studiers of the law, these people have studied the words of God. Okay? They are hearing this story that Jesus breaks their rules of the Sabbath to heal a man who is blind. And some of them are outraged and they're going, look, this is another sign of him being a sinner. This isn't the first time that Jesus has done this. And they've determined that Jesus is a sinner. And so they hear about this miracle of what God has done and how he's healed this blind man. And their response is, it couldn't happen. It didn't happen. And so they're looking for any way in which this miracle wasn't real. So it starts off with them saying, no, this didn't happen. We don't believe you were blind. So they call the man in, they question him, and they still don't believe him. They're just like, nah, this guy's probably just making it up. He's just trying to make Jesus look good. We know Jesus is a sinner. There's no way this actually happened. So they call on his parents. They're looking for any way they can to discredit the miracle because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that Jesus is good. They believe he's a sinner. And so they're thinking, this cannot have happened. And so they bring in the parents, and the parents are basically just petrified. They're just like, dude, talk to him. Like, he's old enough. We don't want any part of this. He's our son. He was blind, but that's all we know. Like, and that's saying that because the Pharisees had already started to basically excommunicate people, kick them out of the synagogue, not let them be part of the community if they were following Jesus or being his disciples or acknowledging him in any way. And so the parents are kind of afraid. But when they bring this guy in, he says again, like, he's basically saying, like, what do you want from me? I was blind. I see. He did it. It's cool. I mean, it's kind of what this guy's saying. He's like, it's not like he was seeking out Jesus. He was just there. And Jesus heals him. So he's just like, this is what's going on. But the Pharisees still don't get it. And they're still pressing him. And they're basically saying, I mean, you hear that when it says, give glory to God. I love they say, give glory to God. They're basically saying, like, get right with God. Stop telling lies. Tell us the truth. We know Jesus is a sinner. You must, this is not how it happened. And the guy's like, look, I don't know anything about him, but I now see. And he's just saying, like, don't you see what just happened? Like, you've asked everybody. You keep looking for ways in which this didn't happen, and yet you know that it did. Like, every witness is telling you, he was blind, now he sees, Jesus did it. But the Pharisees can't accept it. They can't accept it, and so they're just saying no. And what's funny to me here is that at the end of this, the guy's actually saying, now, you got to remember here, too, that this guy, he's been born blind, which means he's a completely unschooled individual. He's not been studying anything or been practicing rhetoric or anything like that. And here he is in front of the ruling council, the religious elite, and he's going back and forth with them like he's been studying his whole life. He's keeping his own, which is kind of amazing in its own right. And they're questioning him and trying to ridicule him, and he keeps coming, kind of giving them, holding his own, giving it even better. And it gets to the point where he's giving good answers about, hey, don't you know that only this kind of miracle could happen with God? Like, if it wasn't for God, this could never happen. And their response to that is to basically call him names. I mean, that's what he says. They're hurling insults at him. They're like, who are you? Like, basically, they're saying, we're so good, you're pitiful. They have no argument. Their argument is name calling. I know, but if you were anything like me, when you grew up in, like, as a little kid in, like, elementary school and stuff, that's how these fights would go. You'd be like, oh, I'm better than you. No, I'm better than you. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, poopy face. And you're like, okay, I don't know how we got there, but that's where we are. You know, like, that's what this seems like to me. It's like, there's an argument. They're not winning. They're not proving anything. But they can't believe this is from God. And so all they see is, this is not a miracle from God. You're completely, he's steeped in sin. You must be steeped in sin. You're evil. Get out of here. And they completely miss what just happened. Whereas this guy, this blind guy, he gets it. He's blind. And now he sees. And he looks at these Pharisees and he says, how could you not know where this man comes from? He's like, how could you not know where this man comes from? He says, nobody's ever heard of somebody healing a man born blind. And yet here I am, a living example of a miraculous move of God. How can you not know what just happened? And this is so, we know this is a big sign, because even amongst the religious elite, the Pharisees, some of them were divided, because they're looking at it going, yeah, I mean, I know he said he was a sinner, but how could he do this? This is such an amazing thing that has happened. And yet the most of them miss it entirely and write it off, saying, no, this is not God. God did not do this. This miracle didn't happen. And if it did, it must be something demonic, because this is not God. Because we know this man is a sinner. See, they missed it entirely. What's really sad is that these Pharisees are the ones who were supposed to see it. Remember, they're the ones studying the law. They're the ones who know everything there is to know about the Scriptures. That's all they do all day long, is talk about the Scriptures and teach them to other people. And they're, you know, holding parties of talking about this. And this is their life. And so they should see it when God shows up. And yet, this story, in a nutshell, gives us what really happened is, when God showed up, when God was on the move, when God was doing something in their midst, they could not see it. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were blind to the move of God. The reason this happened is that they got attached to what they knew. They thought they knew exactly what it would look like when God showed up. They thought they knew what it would look like when the Messiah showed up. So they had certain ideas or things in their mind. They thought, this is what it will look like. They thought for sure they had, you know, added some extra rules of buffer zone to the rule of the Sabbath, which God did institute the Sabbath, but they had made more things around it. And so when Jesus showed up kind of messing with their rules, they assumed, well, if you're messing with our rules, you can't be from God, because those are our rules. God messed with their status quo of what they thought life should be like, even messing with where they thought, you know, status and all these kinds of things. Jesus messed with the Pharisees' ideas of what it meant to follow God. And because they had an idea in their mind of this is what it must look like, they completely missed it when God showed up. They could not see it, even though it was right in front of their faces. Even though they're talking to a man that was born blind but was healed, they could not see it or believe it, and so they missed it. Now, if you're like me at all and you grew up in the church at all, you catch on really quickly that Pharisees are bad. I mean, that's just what we think all the time. It's like, well, yeah, the Pharisees are bad. Like, I remember being in, like, Sunday school and stuff, and if the answer was like, who's the bad guys? Like, Pharisees. Like, you just knew. It was like, they're the bad guys. But I think we give them a really bad rap, because if we're really trying to bring this into modern times, if there was a group that is the Pharisees, the closest group would be the church. The people who follow God. The people who study God's Word. The people who are saying that they know what it means to follow God and trying to teach other people about who God is. We would be the Pharisees. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be like the Pharisees, but that is the group that we would be. The ones who are in the know about God and who are following after God. And I have to ask us this question is, if God is on the move in your life, are you seeing it? Do you see what God is up to in your life and through your life? Or are you missing it because you're expecting something else? See, I believe that God is constantly on the move. I believe that God is constantly doing things in each of our lives. Sometimes that's smaller things, and sometimes that's big things, like healing a man that's born blind. But God is constantly on the move. And unfortunately, I think for so many of us, because we don't have an expectation for it, or we have too defined expectations of what God can and cannot do, or how God will or will not work, that we are missing what God is actually doing right here, right now, in our lives. And what God wants to do right now, right here, through our lives. And so we can't see Him. And He's like, I'm right here. I'm already on the move. Open your eyes. Join me in what I'm doing. And so we are robbing ourselves of joining in with the miraculous work of God in our life, because we're blind to His work. I'll give you an example here. When I was first married with Erica, we had no money. I mean, we had less than no money. And so things were tight. We got pregnant, like, immediately. In case you didn't know, I have 5 kids. They are now easy. It's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 for another 6 months. And so we had like nothing, you know, so some days there wasn't money for groceries kind of thing. And I remember being told, you know, you can call on God as your provider. And I believe that. So I was like, okay, I'm calling on God. I read books from about Hudson Taylor and how he didn't ask for any money and started an entire missions organization off of it. So I'm like pumped full of all these stories of like, okay, God is going to show up. He's going to provide. And I'm really praying that God would just pour out His blessing. Cause I know, I'm like, if God doesn't show up, we're in trouble, kind of. Okay. So I'm here, and I'm wrestling, and I'm a pastor, and I'm kind of there. I'm like, okay, you know, I really need God to show up. And I'm asking God. And I'm expecting, like, you know, where's my $2,000 check in the mail kind of thing. I'm not getting any $2,000 check in the mail. I mean, it didn't have to be $2,000. It's just like, could you pay this month's rent or something? You know, like, I need something. And I wasn't seeing anything. And I started getting frustrated and angry at God, because I was like, why are you not responding? Why are you not providing like your word says that you will? What is going on? And then I remember one Sunday, it was like the lowest Sunday for me. Some other lady in the church stood up to give a testimony. She's like, I got $2,000 in the check, like from nowhere. It was amazing. Like, I so needed it. And I remember everyone else was like praising. I was like, what? Everyone else is thanking God. I'm sitting here going, come on. Like, where's my $2,000, Shay? Like, that was my response. I was just like, what is going on? Like, I wasn't even happy for the woman. I was just like, seriously? Like, I don't have groceries at home. Like, I could use some money, you know? Like, and I was just so upset. But then it was funny because God is very nice and gentle and patient with us, you know? But he usually has to smack me across the face sometimes to get my attention. So after that moment, I remember that actually that day, there was a, hey, I got a $2,000 check in the mail. And we really didn't have groceries at home. Like, I think we had, I don't know what we had. We had, you know, some water and piece, crust of bread kind of thing. Like, I'm not sure what we're going to eat today. But some of the other families, and my wife, you know, we were like in our 20s. Some of the older families that had kids or whatever, they said, hey, you guys want to come for lunch? We're just, a couple of us are getting together. You want to come over for lunch? And we're like, okay. So we went over, and they were like great cooks, and they had cooked this feast, you know, and it was like way more than they could have ever eaten. And more than we could eat with them. It was all this food. We ate all this food. It was great. And then they all looked at each other and they're like, I don't really want this. You want this? Like, no. Like, you guys want this food? Like, the leftovers? And we're like, yeah. Because I'm like, this is like food for the next couple days. You know, like, this is great. So I'm taking the food and we're going. We put it in the fridge. And it was like that night. And all of a sudden, God was like, you said I'm not providing? Like, you got food in the fridge now? And I was like, huh. I was like, but where's my $2,000? He was like, the guy was like, why? Where did it ever say you are promised $2,000? I was like, I don't know. I guess it never said that. Like, but I had so expected. This is what it has to look like. I was missing all these little ways that God was moving in my life. And I started thinking back and looking at every time that we didn't have food in the fridge, somebody asked us for lunch. Like, out of the blue. Or little things would happen. I remember one time we got like a random check from like the Renters Association of New Jersey or something. I don't even know if that thing exists, but I was like, hey, $80, I'll take it. Like, I can go buy groceries. Like, it was these little things that I wasn't even recognizing as God moving because I was still waiting for my $2,000 check. And so to me, God was not moving. But I was wrong because I couldn't see how God was at work. And the saddest part was, when I wasn't seeing it, my faith, instead of being built up and encouraged and getting excited about God in my life, I was getting frustrated and discouraged, and my faith was shrinking. All because I didn't have eyes to see what God was already doing in my life. I want to encourage you. God is doing something in your life. I don't know what it is, but He has stuff for you. He's doing things in your life, and He wants to do things through your life. You need to have eyes to see what the Spirit is doing, what our Father is doing, what Jesus is doing. He is working. He is at work. But can you see it? Or are you so fixated on what it's supposed to look like or what God could and could not do that you are missing what He's doing? Don't let that be the case. Don't be those who are like the Pharisees who are just spiritually blind. Sure, you may see with your eyes, but spiritually you're just blind to what's going on. Don't let that be your story. See what God is doing in your life. And if you're listening to me and you're like, that sounds great, how do I do that? I just want to encourage you. The first, simplest way to do this is just ask God to say, God, open my eyes. Show me what you're doing. Ask Him to reveal to you the ways or the things in which that you are holding on to that's not what He is. The boxes that you put Him in or the things and expectations that you've created that are keeping you from seeing. Ask Him to reveal those things. And ask Him to show you where He's at. And you'll see. and your eyes will be open, and you'll be like, there are words on those signs. And your life will never be the same. Because you'll be like, wow, my God is so good. My God is so big. There is nothing He cannot do. And He is on the move all the time. I want to join you.